Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another session of Tafsir al-Qur'an, where we study the meaning of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, today we are going to be discussing ayahs number 151 and 152, verse number 151 and 152, insha'Allah bi'nillah. So as we always do, I'll begin with the recitation of the verses that we're going to be studying. After that, I'll read from a translation of the Quran, and then insha'Allah we'll proceed further with a discussion on the meaning, the understanding, and some of the lessons that we can take from these particular verses and these specific ayat, insha'Allah bi'nillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Kama arsalna fikum rasulam minkum yatlu alaykum ayatina. يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ.
The translation says, verse number 151, just as we have sent among you a messenger of your own to recite our revelations to you, purify you and teach you the scripture, wisdom and other things that you did not know. Verse number 152, the translator writes, so remember me, I will remember you. Be thankful to me and never ungrateful. So those are the two ayat that we're going to be studying today, 151 and 152. Now, inshallah, we're going to go into a discussion about the meaning, the tafsir of those ayat. So as we always do in this particular portion, the method with which we're going to approach it is to talk about what is the background information or any kind of background understanding of those ayat, number one. Number two, after doing that, we'll then go through kind of a word-by-word analysis and study of these two verses to make sure that we understand exactly and very clearly what the ayat are saying. Thirdly, we'll then talk about any kind of lessons, the tafsir of those ayats. You know, what are the understanding? What are some of the lessons and reflections and some of the understanding that can be derived from these particular verses, inshallah bidillah. So verse number 151 and 152 are a little bit interesting in the sense that it's not explicitly, these two verses are not explicitly talking about the topic that has been going on for so long. A number of previous sessions that we've had, going all the way back to verse number, ayah number 144, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been telling us about tahwilul qibla, the turning and the changing of the direction of prayer, the turning in the direction of the qibla. So that's what we've been discussing so far. Today's, the two verses that we're studying today are not explicitly talking about the turning and the changing of the qibla. Rather, what these verses are and what they represent, they're talking about more general themes and ideas. Obviously, we just read the translation. The first verse, verse 151, is talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the blessing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam represents. You know, the kind of blessing that he is and what he provides for us and how Allah is blessing us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, the second verse, 152, talks about our relationship and the dynamic of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while that's what these two ayat and these two verses are talking about, however, at the same time, what's also very interesting is that the scholars explain that it's a conclusion to the section, to the entire passage that has been discussing, that has been talking about the turning and the changing of the qibla. Number two, it also serves as a segue. It also serves as a very beautiful and very powerful segue into the following ayat and the next passage that is going to be coming up and that we're going to be studying, insha'Allah, bi'idhnillah. So that's what we are studying today, where verse 151 and verse 152, both, while not explicitly talking about the turning of the qibla, they don't explicitly address and, you know, mention the turning of the qibla. However, both of these verses, at the same time though, are representative of a concluding message, a concluding word. Just like a lot of times when somebody will write an essay or put together some form of written work, then at the conclusion of it, they will have certain thoughts, certain conclusions that they would like to share or they would like to address. So in that sense, these two ayat, 151 and 152, are a very beautiful and powerful and meaningful conclusion to this passage on the turning of the direction of the prayer, tahwilul qibla. Number two, it also then serves as a very beautiful and very seamless segue into the next section, the next passage that we're going to be studying, insha'Allah, bi'idhnillah. So with that being said, let's go ahead into the actual verses themselves and make sure that we understand them, you know, properly, word for word, and that we are able to appreciate and understand the meaning of these particular verses, insha'Allah, bi'idhnillah. And so I wanted to correct myself. The passage about the turning of the qibla started at verse number 142, and now it will be concluding here at verse number 152. Insha'Allah, bi'idhnillah. So with that being said, insha'Allah, let's go ahead and take a look at the actual ayat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ. Now what does that exactly mean? كَمَا means just as, just like, similar to. It draws a parallel between two things. It highlights the resemblance of one thing to another. It's used to compare two things, complement to how two things complement one another. Kama arsalna, just as we sent, just as we sent. So what is this connecting back to? Because as I mentioned, if kama, that little article or that preposition rather, is used to connect two ideas, to compare two things together, to highlight how one thing complements another or resembles another. So it's a simile basically. So what is that connecting back to? What is it comparing it to. So there's a few different discussions here. There's a few different ideas and theories on this that the scholars of Tafsir and the grammarians, they state here. Number one, the first idea or theory that they state here is that is connected back to when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the previous verse, وَلِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. In the very previous verse, verse number 150, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I have completed my blessing upon you, and so that you may be rightly guided. That this turning of the Qibla was to complete my blessing upon you, to give you this updated form of the deen and the religion and legislation through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran. So this was to complete my blessing upon you, number one. Number two, وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, and so that I may guide you. So this is connecting back to that. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that one of the ways that I completed my blessing upon you and one of the ways that I divinely guided you was by sending you the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the completion of my blessing upon you, Allah is saying, and that is how I guide you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So those are a couple of the ideas that the scholars state here, that one, that it connects back to وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي, that this is the realization of the completion of the blessing of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number two, that it can also connect back to وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, and so that I may guide you, and one of the ways that I guided you, for example, is by sending the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what the word kama represents. Very powerful. And that's why oftentimes whenever you hear the mufassirun, the scholars of the Quran, the scholars of the Arabic language, whenever you hear them speaking and they put so much emphasis that every single letter is so jam-packed with meaning, every preposition is so profound, that's exactly why. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kama arsalna, as we sent, fikum, amongst y'all, rasulan, a messenger, minkum, who was from amongst y'all. So we sent amongst you a messenger who was from you. We sent amongst you a messenger who was from you. You knew him, you were familiar with him. Now, there's a couple of things that I wanted to highlight here. Number one is that there's something very beautiful and powerful linguistically, grammatically, in terms of balagha, in terms of eloquence, that is occurring over here that the scholars mention. And it's called janasul ishtiqaq. Janasul ishtiqaq, which basically means sometimes what we kind of call like a play on words, where you are bringing the verb that comes from a root, and then you bring the object of the verb that comes from the same root as the verb. Arsalna comes from irsal, ra, seen, lam, to send. Rasulan means messenger, which also comes from ra, seen, lam. So both the verb and the object of the verb both come from the same root, right? So it's that very powerful, very emphatic, and it heavily serves the purpose of emphasis, emphasizing something, hammering a point home. It is that kind of repetition. It is that kind of repetition that is built in with bringing both words, the verb and the object of the verb, from the same exact root. Arsalna rasulan. We sent a messenger. All right. Now, secondly, I also wanted to highlight here, fikum. Fikum. Fikum means amongst you. And this represents the methodology, the temperament, the approach, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he went to the people and he spoke to the people and he knocked on their doors and he met with them in their homes and in the street, and you know, wherever he had the opportunity, he would go and talk to the people, calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that shows that there were no pretenses The Prophet ﷺ was not a pretentious person at all. The Prophet ﷺ was very accessible, and he was very humble, and he was very approachable, and he was very, open to people. And in fact, he was so humble, he would go to the people. But he didn't have those kinds of pretenses that a lot of times we associate with people of position or people of stature and people of status, right? That they kind of sit and wait for people to come to them. And even when people come to them, then it's difficult for people to access them. That was not the Prophet ﷺ. He went to the people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Minkum. Not only did we send you a messenger who came amongst you and came to you, Minkum. But this messenger was from amongst you. He was one of you. You know him. You know him. You know his name. You know his family. You've seen him. You've walked with him. You've talked with him. You've maybe even broken bread with him. You've eaten with him. You've talked to him. You've interacted with him. You maybe even have had business dealings and financial transactions with him. And so you know exactly what you're dealing with. It is a very, kind of, in terms of the person, is a very known entity. And that's also a very powerful point, right? That the people could not help but admit the character of the Prophet ﷺ. And they were forced to admit that they knew exactly who the Prophet ﷺ and that there was nothing that they could point to and object to within his character. And that's really remarkable and truly profound. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now what did this messenger do that came to you, that came amongst you? He embedded himself, he worked within your community, he approached you, and he was from your community. So what did this messenger do? What job was he given? What was his responsibility? يَتَلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا That he recites upon you our signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he recites upon you our signs. Right? And that means to call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to present people with the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then number two, وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ And we've talked about this before because of the verse earlier in Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا يُزَكِّيكُمْ means he purifies you. He makes you better. He improves your condition. He teaches you how to be the best version of yourselves. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ And he teaches you the book. And what's meant by the book here, of course, is the Qur'an. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ So he teaches you the book, the Qur'an. وَالْحِكْمَةِ And he teaches you wisdom. He teaches you wisdom, al-hikmah. What's meant here by al-hikmah? So the scholars explain that the meaning of the word hikmah here, number one, it can be asrarul ahkam, that he teaches you the understandings of what the book is saying. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandates something upon you, Allah requires you to do something, Allah obligates you to do something, or Allah forbids you from doing something, what's the benefit for you in that? That's called hikmah. That how is this good for you? How is this beneficial for you? That what are some of the benefits, what we call the hikam, the wisdom, in the legislation and the rules from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also, as Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala says, that al-hikmatu hiya sunnatu rasuli alayhi salam, that the hikmah, he teaches you the wisdom, also refers to the prophetic tradition, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what we call the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That how did the life, the times, the seerah, the sunnah of the Prophet, the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ. How did he live his life? How did he conduct himself in, tough times and easy times, difficult times and good times? You know, when he was home, when he was traveling, when he was in war, and when it was times of peace. How did the Prophet ﷺ conduct himself, and how did he instruct us to conduct ourselves? All right? And something really interesting and remarkable about this, right? وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. So think about the things it said. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا. He recites upon you our signs, calls you to Allah, connects you to Allah, number one. وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ. He helps you improve and rectify and purify yourselves. All right? And that can also be explained and summarized as التَّخْلِيَةُ وَالتَّحْلِيَةُ. He removes bad, detrimental, harmful things from you, and he helps you adorn yourselves with good characteristics and good quality and good things. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Then he teaches you the Qur'an and the Sunnah. The Qur'an and the practical way on how to live in accordance with the Qur'an. And something very powerful that the scholars of Tafsir state here to understand this is that if there's ever any kind of a theory, or there's a product, or there is some kind of a process, the way to prove it, the way to establish it, it's only as good as the results that it produces. And granted, results are not in our hands, but that's just the way that we have to think about things, right? That's how we think about things in terms of the dunya. That something is only as valuable, something is only as beneficial, something is only as effective as the results that it produces. What are the results of the Prophet ﷺ doing this? يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. What are the results of this? Look at the companions, Ashabu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahabatul Kiram, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een. Look at the companions of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. May Allah be pleased with them. Remarkable people. Think about where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found them. The condition, the situation that many of them were in at that time. And then think about, through this process, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left them. That they basically developed such an understanding of the deen and the religion, that they became such wise and knowledgeable, remarkable, insightful people, that even one of the companions was able to lead forward, an entire generation of people, an entire nation or region of people, an entire community could be guided with the presence of one companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that they became such role models that 1400 years later, till today, we're still looking at them and admiring them and learning from them and taking from them. So this, and keep in mind, this was 1400 years ago. So maybe they didn't have all the systems and processes that we have. They didn't have the technology and the documentation of knowledge and discussion that we have. They didn't quite have the proliferation and the ease of access to so much information that we have. Yet in spite of that, being such a remarkable generation of people, is a testament to how effectively the Prophet ﷺ did fulfilled his mission. And that is a testament to the divine powerful mission given to the Prophet ﷺ by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So you have to kind of put that all together and understand it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of the ayah, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. And he teaches you that which you did not used to know. He teaches you that which you did not used to know. And that's a very interesting phrase. So one thing is that the scholars mention ذِكْرُ الْعَامْ بَعْدَ الْخَاصِ. Typically we have ذِكْرُ الْخَاصِ بَعْدَ الْعَامِ. You mention something generally and then you mention something specifically. Right? Somebody would say that, I appreciate all the blessings of Allah. And I really appreciate, the ability to learn the Qur'an. Okay, so first you mentioned dhikr al-aam, you mentioned generally, I appreciate all the blessings of Allah, and then you said specifically, I appreciate the ability to know the Qur'an, to learn the Qur'an. So that's very typical. Here what you have is dhikr al-aam ba'd al-khas. Dhikr al-aam ba'd al-khas. Okay, which means that you first mentioned something, something specific was mentioned, that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches you the Qur'an and the Sunnah. يُعَلِّمُكُمْ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And then it says, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. And he taught you everything that you did not know previously. So after mentioning something specifically, the Qur'an and the Sunnah, then it generally mentions, and he taught you that which you did not know. And that's very, very interesting. So why is that exactly done? So a couple of things to understand and to note about that in terms of a style. Number one is that the scholars, the Mufassirun, the scholars of Tafsir, they mention that this shows, number one, it shows that even though we mentioned something specific before, that he taught you the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and then we said that he taught you everything that you did not know previously, in a way, it's done to highlight the fact that the Qur'an and the Sunnah is the bulk of knowledge. That is the main component of knowledge. That is the main thing that human, as human beings, you never would have had any way to access it, to know it, to learn it, if the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not sent to impart it to you. So even though it mentioned it specifically and then generally it said he taught you everything that you did not know, well, the bulk of what you did not know and the bulk of what he taught you is the Qur'an and the Sunnah. لِإِفَادَةِ الشُّمُولِ. Alright? Number two is that this phrase of وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ, that he taught you that which you did not know, meaning if we take it very generally and we try to understand it, meaning the knowledge of the unseen. All the prophets of the past, what will transpire in the life of the hereafter, everything we know about the majesty and the greatness of Allah, the names and the attributes of Allah, all of that, the only access we had to it was through the Prophet ﷺ. The only reason why we know any of it is the Prophet ﷺ. And that now leads us to ayah number 152. And very beautifully, you see how seamlessly it goes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so if the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ, I fulfilled my blessing upon you by sending you the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who gave you all of this and taught you everything that you did not know previously. So therefore, what should you be doing? فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, Allah says. Verse number 152. فَذْكُرُونِي, which is the command form, therefore, remember me, Allah says. Remember me, Allah says. أَذْكُرْكُمْ, and I shall remember you. I will remember you. And then, we already read the translation, وَشْكُرُونِي, and be grateful to me, Allah says. وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ, and do not be ungrateful to me. Now, let's talk a little bit about exactly what this means. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me and I shall remember you. So first and foremost, there is a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that is mentioned in the Sahihain in Bukhari and Muslim, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah, God Almighty, says, hadith Qudsi, يَقُلُّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ, that God Almighty says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي, that I am with my servant according to his expectation, her understanding of me. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he deals with us in accordance with what we expect from him. Alright? وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي, وَأَنَا مَعَهُ, and I am with my servant, Allah says. إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if he remembers me, you know, privately, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I remember him within myself. وَإِذَا ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. And if he remembers me in a gathering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I remember him in a better gathering. Another narration tells us that is the gathering of the angels. يُبَاهِي بِكُمْ مَلَائِكَتَهُ. That Allah boasts and brags about us to the angels. Look at my servant, look at my slave. وَإِن تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا. And if my servant comes near to me, shibran, one hand's width, all right, from here to here, one hand's width, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I go near him in arm's length. All right? And then narration continues on from there. So that's one meaning of فَذْكُرُونِي يَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I remember you. Remember me and I will remember you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, meaning if we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will remember us and Allah will, you know, shower His mercy and turn His mercy and His benevolence and His blessing and His forgiveness and His mercy towards us. Now, there's a lot of very beautiful commentary that has been done on this particular part of the verse. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, rahimahullahu ta'ala, excuse me, when the students of the companions, radiyallahu anhum, he actually says something very beautiful about this. He says, فَذْكُرُونِي, he says, A, meaning, when Allah says, remember me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, بِالطَّاعَةِ وَالْإِمْتِثَالِ وَالْعَمْلِ الصَّالِحِ مثل الحمد والتسبيح والشكر وقراءة القرآن وتدبر آياته وتفكر في الأدلة الكونية والتزام ما أمرتكم به واجتناب ما نهيتكم عنه والإيمان بالرسل والاقتداء بهم. That if we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying Him, following, you know, His guidance, doing righteous deeds, praising and glorifying Him, reading the Qur'an, reflecting on its meaning, focusing and thinking about the greatness and the majesty of Allah all around us, following His commandments, staying away from His prohibitions, believing in the messengers, following the example of the messengers. If we do all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَذْكُرْكُمْ, I will remember you, meaning, عِنْدِي بِالثَّوَابِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ, I will remember you by rewarding you, by blessing you. وَإِفَاضَةِ الْخَيْرِ, by showering my blessings and goodness upon you. وَدَوَامِ السَّعَادَةِ وَالْعِزَّةِ, by giving you everlasting success and honor and nobility. وَأُفَاخِرْ بِكُمْ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and I will brag about you to the angels. So that is first thing, that, as I mentioned, Sa'id ibn Jubayr says, أُذْكُرُونِي بِالطَّاعَةِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ بِالثَّوَابِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ بِالرَّحْمَةِ. That Allah is saying, remember me by obeying me, and I will remember you by blessing you, by forgiving you, and showering my mercy upon you. And then there's so many other beautiful ways that this has been explained by the scholars of tafsir. Imam al-Razi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his tafsir, compiles them together. He says, اذكروني بطاعتي اذكركم برحمتي. Remember me by obeying me, and I will remember you by showering my mercy upon you. اذكروني بالدعاء اذكركم بالإجابة. Remember me by calling out to me, making dua to me, supplicating to me, asking me for what you need and want, and I will remember you by answering your prayers. اذكروني بالثناء والطاعة اذكركم بالثناء والنعمة. Remember me by praising and glorifying me and obeying me, and I will remember you by bragging about you to the angels and by showering my blessings upon you. اذكروني في الدنيا اذكركم في الآخرة. Subhanallah. Remember me in the life of this world, and I will remember you in the afterlife on the Day of Judgment. اذكروني في الخلوات يذكركم في الفلوات. Remember me when you are alone by yourself, and I will remember you in front of all of humanity in all of the creation. اذكروني في الرخائي اذكركم في البلائي. Remember me in good times and I will remember you during hard times. Subhanallah. اذكروني بطاعتي اذكركم بمعونتي. Remember me by always being obedient to me and I remember you by always being there for you and helping you. اذكروني بمجاهدتي اذكركم بهدايتي. Remember me by striving to please me and I remember you by always guiding you. اذكروني بالصدق والإخلاص أذكركم بالخلاص ومزيد الاختصاص. Remember me by being truthful and sincere with me, Allah says. And I will remember you by granting you salvation and by increasing you in status and nobility in the hereafter. أذكروني بالربوبية في الفاتحة أذكركم بالرحمة والعبودية في الخاتمة. Subhanallah. Remember me and my lordship and my providing for you throughout your life. And I will remember you by showering my mercy upon you and allowing you to remember that you are my servant when you are leaving and departing from this world. So all these beautiful reflections that the scholars have shared with us here. So the next part of the ayah, 152, Allah says, وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And be grateful to me and do not be ungrateful to me. Alright? This part is pretty straightforward and self-explanatory. Right? That be grateful for the blessings that I have showered upon you. And once again, like we talked about in the idea of remembering Allah, be grateful with your heart. Be grateful with your tongue by praising and glorifying Allah, saying Alhamdulillah. And be grateful through your actions by doing good deeds and being obedient and compliant. And do not be ungrateful for these blessings by doing the things that I have forbidden you from doing. وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ibrahim, Surah number 7, ayah number 14, وَإِذْ أَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. We see the same juxtaposition that your Lord has decreed that if you are grateful, then I shall indeed increase you. And if you are ungrateful, then know that my punishment is indeed very, very severe and my punishment is very harsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is also very interestingly, I told you all that the Qur'an, you know, we've talked a lot about the connectivity and the coherence of the Qur'an and how one verse relates to another, one passage relates to another. It's very interesting, Allah is telling us, وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Be grateful to me and do not be ungrateful to me. Because in Surah Al-Baqarah here, previously we've read about Banu Israel, Bani Israel, the people that came before us, the nations that passed before us, and one of their primary crimes, one of their main crimes was ingratitude. They were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah had given them. So just as we have read previously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now telling us here in conclusion, khulasatan, that do not repeat that behavior. Don't be ungrateful like that, but rather be grateful for all the blessings that I have given you. And there are some very interesting reflections on this as well. You know, this idea of be grateful to me and do not be ungrateful, right? This is very interesting. And we talked about, we talked a little bit about this. I alluded to this, but I wanted to comment on it a little bit more. And that is the particular idea that being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically done and very necessarily must be done through compliance. That gratitude cannot just be what we call lip service. You can't just say, oh yes, yes, I'm grateful, and then behave like an ingrate. Behave ungratefully, right? Where you're not listening to Allah, you're not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that has been commented upon, and the scholars before us have talked about this. Zayd ibn Aslam, when the great Mufassirin of the early generations, he says that the Prophet Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Rabbi, kayfa ashkuruk? My Lord, how can I be grateful to you? قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, تَذْكُرْنِي وَلَا تَنْسَانِي That remember me and never forget me. فَإِذَا ذَكَرْتَنِي فَقَدْ شَكَرْتَنِي When you remember me, you have been grateful to me. وَإِذَا نَسِيتَنِي فَقَدْ كَفَرْتَنِي When you forget me and forget to remember me, you have indeed been ungrateful to me. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Abu al-Aliya, and many of the other mufassirun, they say that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَذْكُرُ مَنْ ذَكَرَهُ وَيَزِيدُ مَنْ شَكَرَهُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ كَفْرَهُ That Allah remembers the one who remembers Him, Allah increases the one who is grateful to Him, and Allah punishes the one who is ungrateful to Him. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he says something very powerful about this ayah. He says, أُذْكُرُونِي فِيمَا إِفْتَرَطْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَذْكُرْكُمْ فِيمَا أَوْجَبْتُ لَكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِي Remember me by doing that which I have obligated upon you, Allah says. And I will remember you by rewarding you as I have promised you. And there's a very fascinating interaction that is narrated, Makhul al-Azdi, he says that, I said to Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرَأَيْتَ قَاتِلَ النَّفْسِ وَشَارِبَ الْخَمْرِ وَالسَّارِقَ وَالزَّانِيَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ وَقَدَ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَاذْكُرُونِي يَذْكُرْكُمْ So he said, well, let me ask you a question. He asked Abdullah ibn Umar, let me ask you a question. He said, what if somebody commits a major sin? Like killing themselves or killing someone else, a murderer? Or somebody, you know, drinks wine, consumes intoxicants that Allah has forbidden. Somebody steals and robs other people. Somebody fornicates, commits adultery, zina. And then they remember Allah. Like, they're basically doing all of this. And he didn't say that they did it once. Meaning he uses the ism fa'il, the noun, saying, what if somebody is continuously, habitually engaging in these activities? Somebody's murdering people, killing people, somebody regularly intoxicates and drinks, somebody regularly steals and robs from people, somebody regularly fornicates and commits adultery, and you know, they in between they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here and there, they do some dhikr, they say the name of Allah here and there. Didn't Allah say, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ? So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma didn't like quite the question and the tone of the question of the person. So he said, إِذَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ هَذَا That if this guy keeps on doing all this bad stuff and just throws in a little dhikr here and there, like a lot of times has become very, unfortunately, very standard, right? It's almost like this, instead of like practicing Islam, there's like a Muslim culture, right, where you don't need to change anything fundamental about who you are and how you live your life and how you spend your time and the obligations and the commandments of Allah and the prohibitions and the things that Allah has forbidden. You don't need to change any of that. You just, you know, attend a little gathering here, attend a little, you know, listen to some Quran over there. And those things should not be stopped because those things, if done sincerely and properly, can help a person pull themselves out of the rut that they are in. But a lot of times, tragically and unfortunately, it's almost done as kind of a, you know, to placate themselves, to make yourself feel better about yourself even though you're not changing yourself. So he said, إِذَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ هَذَا ذَكَرَهُ اللَّهُ بِلَعْنَتِهِ That if somebody does that, what I just described, then he said, Allah does remember them, but Allah remembers them by cursing them. حَتَّى يَسْكُتْ And then the person became quiet. Right? So that's something to keep in mind, that remember me and I will remember you, be grateful to me and do not be ungrateful to me. But there is a very active component and an active element to this. This cannot just simply be lip service, but it must be very real. And be grateful to me and do not be ungrateful to me. And this is the part that I was explaining, that even gratitude must be demonstrated and expressed through obedience and compliance, and not just simply lip service. And a lot of times, we also misconstrue the idea of being grateful and not being ungrateful, that somehow, you know, there is a problem with enjoying the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's another extreme that we should not go to. One extreme, like I stated, we just basically, you know, say some dhikr, almost like a ritual, formality, but then live our lives however we want to live our lives. That's an extreme, that's a problem. The opposite extreme is that we almost kind of create this guilt within any kind of enjoyment of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is also an opposite extreme. In the Musnad of Ahmad, Abu Raja al-Ataridi, he mentions that kharaja alayna Imran ibn Husaynin radiyallahu anhu. The companion of the Prophet ﷺ, Imran ibn Husayn, he came out, you know, and we were there and we saw him come out. Wa alayhi mitraf min khazzin lam narahu alayhi qabla thalika wala ba'dahu. He was wearing this very fancy garment. He was wearing this very fancy garment, kind of like almost like a overcoat, and it was very luxurious. And we never saw it before, and we never saw it again afterwards. And he said, and he must have seen us, you know, he must have noticed us looking at him and observing and admiring what he was wearing. Something so nice and luxurious. You know, you see somebody walk out and they're wearing like a very nice fancy suit. Where just by looking at it, you can tell this is really nice. So when he noticed them looking, he said, "Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal," that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man an'ama Allahu alayhi ni'matan," that whomsoever Allah has blessed with His blessings, that Allah has granted them His blessings abundantly, "Fa'inna Allah yuhibbu an yara athara ni'matihi ala khalqihi wa qala marratan ala 'abdihi," that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then loves to see the sign, the presence of His blessing upon His creation. And He also, in another place, He said, upon His servant. That if Allah has blessed you with something, Allah loves to see the effect of that blessing upon you. But you have to remember to be grateful. And being grateful is bilqalbi wal lisani wal jawarih, with the heart, where you are not envious and jealous of other people. You do not harbor rancor and ill feeling towards others. And you don't get into this competitive kind of mindset. Bil lisan, that you actually say, Alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. You attribute all blessings to Allah. And with your actions, that then you live a life of obedience and compliance and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that, inshallah, we will go ahead and conclude here. And that concludes verse number 152. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to practice everything that we've said and heard. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Before I wrap up here, I wanted to remind everyone, once again, I know that we've been mentioning it week in, week out, but we're only doing so because, alhamdulillah, there's the entire team at Qalam has been working nonstop, very diligently, on putting together a really awesome Seerah intensive program, inshallah, for everyone to benefit from. And we're really excited about the opportunity to be able to bring the Seerah Intensive to everyone, no matter where they may be, at home, all across the world. So alhamdulillah, this is basically Seerah Intensive. We'll be starting in just 2 days. So once again, as always, I want to remind everyone, I want to mention it to everyone. Go and check out the program, inshallah. I'm sharing the link in the comments. And check out the program. We have the normal Seerah intensive program for the adults. We also have a Seerah intensive program for kids to be able to benefit from. Inshallah, bidnillah, very, very well thought out. A lot of work and time and effort has been put into it. So inshallah, I want to request everyone, I want to encourage everyone to go and inshallah check out the program. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can see the Seerah Intensive page. So inshallah, I've posted the link. For those who are listening to the podcast, you can check out the Seerah Intensive page by going to qalamintensives.com. So go and inshallah check it out. This is basically the last opportunity to sign up before the intensive actually starts. Sessions will be recorded. You'll be able to go through them at your own leisure. There'll be quizzes, reading materials, exercises, and a whole lot of knowledge and learning, inshallah. So please do go and check it out. And with that, I'll go ahead and conclude. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.